Patricia Corey, our special guest, as we talk Beyond the Matrix. We'll be back with more on Coast to Coast AM. Patricia, when you talk to the scientists and physicists about Beyond the Matrix, what did they say? What's in their heads?
Well, we have a new vision, starting with the beginning of this century with Einstein, who introduces the theory of relativity in around 1915. And he shifted the scientific understanding from particles being things of matter to understanding them as vibrational, let's say, vortices that exist in a perpetual field of energy. So the new scientists are discussing that all of reality is affected by vibration, and that means that, and then discussing how vibration is affected or is responds to frequency. And frequency, we believe, comes from consciousness. So here is where science and spirit merge. The new scientists are saying, yeah, maybe the metaphysicians are right, and that all that exists is activated by consciousness. This is the exciting revelation, let's say, that's coming out of the of this epoch. And that's what I mean by science emerging with spirit.
Do you find that some of the physicists of today, the leading physicists and scientists, are on the cutting edge and they understand this?
Absolutely. I again refer to Michio Kaku, who in the book Beyond the Matrix, he discusses the idea. He discusses what he calls the big bubble theory. Have you had him explain that on your show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, many times.
So, but, you know, when you think about that, and going back to our earlier conversation about the eternal cosmic sea, if you visualize a perpetuation of universes as bubbles in a jacuzzi whirlpool bath, you can imagine how you can conceive of existing in many dimensions. Because if you were to be, let's say, our small galaxy or even our solar system existed as a dot on the film of a bubble, wherever that bubble was connected to other bubbles in that film, as bubbles do, you would be coexisting in another universe, galaxy, or planet or reality. And it really is pretty mind-boggling, but it is a beautiful example of how we can imagine ourselves existing in many, many, many other realities and dimensions and universes.
Does that explain, do you think, the confusion of whether UFOs are coming from planetary systems or other dimensions, or as you said earlier, both?
Oh, yeah, in some ways, because if you use that model, then you have to ask yourself, okay, if the film of a bubble would be something relative to time-space continuum, then what about the space in within the bubble, what we would call the air in the bubble? What is that? What is that reality? And let's consider, if you were a craft, if you were a three-dimensional craft and you had to journey around that bubble to get to the other side, that would be similar to the explanation of time-space. But what if you could cut across the bubble and simply appear at the other side? What kind of reality is that? These are very philosophical questions.
They are indeed.
In my opinion, we are not only are we talking about beings from other dimensions and planets, but we ourselves are multidimensional beings.
Explain.
We believe that we're three-dimensional beings. We use this term all the time. But in reality, as an example of the discussion we had about dreams, aren't we in another dimension when we're experiencing the dream state?
Yes, we are.
So we really are not limited three-dimensional beings. And when we get this, we already experience a great surge in consciousness. When we understand that we are not limited three-dimensional beings, that we are capable of and do experience other dimensions when we journey, when we, like you and I have experienced being outside the body, when we dream, and when we die.
Earlier, we talked a little bit about you being a contactee, and I want to get into UFO activity. You will agree that it seems to be increasing, right?
Unquestionably. In fact, I think that the event in New York in October was really a decloaking. I think we are well on our way now. But in fact, when so many people are discussing about disclosure and when that's going to happen, and I think it's pretty clear to many of us that it's happening. We're in it.
But I don't think it's going to come from government, do you?
No, I don't. I think that it appears to me that it's like, all right, if you're not going to do this, we will. So we are seeing daily, we're having pretty phenomenal experience coming down. The experience in New York, El Paso was pretty shocking. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that one.
We had a UFO or something that was, whatever we want to describe it as, that appears and then it breaks into three separate lights on tape. It's just amazing footage.
And splits off.
Yeah, and you know, Stanley Fulham, are you aware of this former?
Oh, yeah, NORAD, and he just passed away, by the way.
Yeah, and of course, the conspiracy people are saying that he was zapped, but...
No, he wasn't zapped. He was...
I don't think he was zapped either.
He was a grand old guy, and he passed away.
Yeah, I think that he was ill, and that might be why he came forward with his information. But it's interesting, because he claims to have been contacted by the Regional Galactic Governance Authority of beings that he called the Council of Eight, and supposedly he predicted that this would happen in New York, and it did. And he has also predicted that in the first half of January, which is now, there would be a lot of activity in Russia.
Well, they've had activity all over the place, so you know he was right.
Yeah, I think it was kind of a no-brainer to predict that there would be a lot of UFO activity right now. And I really, it does appear to me that this is part of our process of transition in the 2012 paradigm.
What is the main message you'd like people to get from Beyond the Matrix?
That embracing beliefs that you do not adhere to does not mean that you're giving up your core beliefs, but that you are a Renaissance person who is open to understanding other points of view and recognizing that we are finally merging the right and left brain, the male-female paradigm, and yin and yang, science and spirit.
Now, you're working on another work called Before We Leave You. What's that all about?
Before We Leave You is a message from the great whales and the dolphins for planet Earth, because I do believe that the cetaceans are going to be recognized as conscious people. Maybe they won't be given the status of human beings, but I really do believe that the cetaceans are more conscious, higher consciousness beings than human beings. And this is their time, and contact is being made.
Yeah, I believe if dolphins had arms and legs, they'd have cities that would dwarf hours.
That's good to hear. Yeah. Good, George. I believe that too. And my experience is that they did in other times. If you think about the Dogon and their description of the Nomo, that these were dolphins that came out of the water and taught the Dogon about Sirius A and B and C.
The dolphins are an incredible species.
Oh, and so are the whales. In fact, this year I'm taking groups of people to the Azores, which I believe is Atlantis, the nine islands in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, part of Atlantis, and swimming, which I've done a lot now, swimming with wild dolphins, which is the ultimate experience of bliss. Mm-hmm. I believe that they have contact for us and that they want us to be with them, as opposed to some conservationists who think that we should leave them alone. I believe that in the wild, they want us to communicate with them.
Oh, I do too. I do too. I assume you swim with the dolphins?
Yeah, let me tell you that it was my greatest fear. I'm all about teaching people to be in fearlessness, but my greatest fear, being a California girl, was to jump off of a boat in the middle of the ocean
and get bitten by a shark.
Yeah, shark fear is something that I grew up with because I, California, I mean, this happens. But I had to confront that fear if I was going to be with the wild whales and with the wild dolphins. And so I jumped in, and that was the most amazing experience of my life. And I've had many, but being in the wild with dolphins and feeling, when you're with them, you can feel them scan you.
And you felt calm.
Do a resonance thing.
You felt comfortable?
Oh, I was in bliss. I actually had a moment where I thought, this is the way I want to go out. I'll just swim away with them.
Really?
Yeah. They really do communicate, and what you first feel, all right, I'm a psychic, so maybe I feel it more than others, but they come up to you when they're ready, and they do a scan, and you can feel all of this energy bouncing off of your body. And I think what they're doing is saying, okay, what is this big fish?
That's amazing. They try to chatter with you, like Flipper?
No, not like Flipper. Well, the first thing they do is do this echolation where they're measuring you and finding out what kind of energy you are. And I kind of believe that they're also doing healing because many people report being healed from being in the water with them. And then after that initial, the two, let's say, sentinels come up and do that, then all these dolphins started appearing. I was with about 100 dolphins in a pod in the middle of the ocean.
What do they feel like when you rub them? Are they like oily or slippery or what?
It's a very rare thing if you're able to touch a dolphin in the wild, but it did happen to me because while I was in the shark fear.
Are they like rubbery?
I suppose you're not really thinking that when you're in the presence of a great dolphin.
See,
being.
I would do that. That's me.
Well, you would probably feel that more if you were swimming in a contained environment with them, which I did once, and would never do again.
Why not?
Because I felt so much of their suffering.
Ah, okay.
I don't want dolphins in any way contained. They need to be free. And this is part of my mission, and this is part of what the new book is about. I want to rally human beings to start working to releasing the especially the whales and dolphins from captivity, putting on shows for circus acts for human beings.
If you were at a gate, there were dolphins, would you open the gate leading to the ocean if nobody saw you?
I would do it even if they saw me.
You would?
I would do it.
Do you feel that strongly about it?
Yeah, I mean, who are we? It's so barbaric to capture, first of all, removing them from their pods. You realize what happens, how they get these dolphins? They separate them from their pods. They select the ones that are the best form, the least amount of marks on their body, the babies, and they take them away from their mothers.
They must scream, just like humans.
They scream. And I would like to know, in fact, in the book it says, were this to happen to humans and your children, your babies were taken away and thrown into the circus?
Oh, my gosh.
Dimensional or E.T. circus. What would you think of it then?
Oh. I used to breed horses, right, years ago, and it came time for weaning, right? You had to wean the little baby from the mom, and you'd separate them so they couldn't see each other, but they sure could hear each other. And I'm telling you, Patricia, all night long, you'd hear the mother screaming for the kid and the little horse screaming for its mom. And in one thing, it was very sad, but, I mean, you had to do that. You had to separate them, but it
Why?
Was unbelievable.
Why did you have to?
Well, you had to get the little horse to start living on its own. I mean, it was so reliant on its mother, it didn't do anything.
Oh, man. You know, and yet humans are allowed to take care of their young, but we don't allow animals to do it.
I know, I'm still
What's wrong with
it?
That story?
My kids are getting up there in age, and I'm still there taking care of them.
But it really, I understand what you mean about the screaming because they do. They scream desperately. And many of the rest of the pod, they never forget it. Dolphins and whales are socialized beings. They never forget it. And they talk about how, I say they talk about it because I'm suggesting that the book is received from another dimension.
Well, I wonder what they think of human beings. dolphins?
Well, they seem to love us, even though we keep killing them.
Yeah.
They celebrate contact. And when you swim with them in the wild, they come to you. It's not like you just go out and intervene in one of their pods. You jump into the ocean, and you wait for them to come. And they come, and they circle around you, and they swim close to you, and they study you, and they play. They love it.
Well, extremely intelligent animal, I think. Extremely intelligent.
We do believe they're more, the dolphins are more intelligent than human beings. They seem to be certainly more joyous and compassionate.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
I haven't
so
had the joy of swimming with whales yet, but that's coming.
I'm not sure I would do that.
Why not?
Look what happened to Jonah.
I can't imagine anything more amazing than being in the ocean with whales. I've been close to them on boats, but I've never been in the water.
Well,
but I'm just getting my water wings. This is just recently in the last couple of years that I've been actually swimming in the wild with dolphins, and it's definitely changed my life.
You know,
why don't you come with me in this summer when we go swim with the dolphins in the Azores?
Well, can I bring my scuba gear with me?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll do that. We'll bring Tom with us, and maybe there'll be an accident, and a dolphin will take him away. My producer.
Wouldn't be a better way to go, in my opinion.
No, I know. See you, Tom. Off he goes. Anyways, back to the Matrix. I mean, I brought up the dolphins because I think they're very special. They're very intuitive, and they just understand. There have been some theories that dolphins are extraterrestrial. What do you think of that?
I adhere to that theory and bring that forward in the book.
You do?
Yes. I also think that the dolphins and whales are in contact with underwater alien craft.
Interesting.
Well, consider this. The Earth is, what, 75% water?
Yes, at least.
So doesn't it make sense that there is a higher form of consciousness, or at least an intelligence, in the 70% of the Earth that represents the waters of Earth, rather than all of it being on the rest, the 30%, which would be the human population?
Well, you would think so if you thought about it, yeah.
And while you're thinking about that, wouldn't you agree that if you were an extraterrestrial or extra-dimensional conscious population, you'd be looking at the Earth going, whew.
I'm glad I'm deep in the ocean. That's what I'd be saying.
This is the most intelligent species on this planet. What's missing?
Yeah.
Why are they self-destructive? Why are they bent on destroying themselves, the animals, the ecosystems, the planet on a whole?
Where do you get the book?
Not very intelligent.
Beyond the Matrix. Where do you get your book?
It's available everywhere. Bookstores, Amazon.com, or you can get it on my site, which is SyrianRevelations.net.
You had fun writing it, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, because what I did was, it's from the radio show, as you mentioned, and I chose 17 of my favorite interviews on the show and transcribed them. And I've got a range of information that's, you know, physics, Stanley Freeman, who is a wonderful representative of the ET UFO reality, animal conservation, crop circles. Just it's a real compendium of information that is important at this time.
All right. Well, stay with us, Patricia. We're going to be back with more in just a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. With our special guest, Patricia Corey, and we'll take your phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. What do you tell people, Patricia, when they ask you about the other side, what you believe exists over there?
I believe that it is a reflection of what we're experiencing here, but more light and more possibility, because in light body, we're not limited in our perception of what we can do, what we can be, and what we can create. And by the way, I have had contact through a medium from my mother, who passed over 7 years ago, and she was so precise. I've never really gone to a medium for information before, but I couldn't get through to my mother. And this woman was able to present me with information that there is no question came from my mother. No one else knew. certain information that was so specific. And she described it, what she was doing there. And she said, we create everything we want here. And right now I'm in a park with my dad, and we're having a picnic, and there's light everywhere. And she said, you were right, because my mother believed she was an atheist. And she used to say, there's nothing on the other side. You've got to enjoy your life now because there's nothing there. And I said, how can you say that? Mom, how can you say that? I know you don't believe it. I pointed my finger in her face, and I said, you're going to get on the other side, and you're going to say, my daughter was right. This is real. And so here I am sitting with this medium in despair, because my mother was just such an important person in my life. And she puts her little finger out, and she says, your mother is saying, you were right.
Did she try to instill that in you when you were smaller, that it just ends?
No, my mother was a just such a soul, and she just always said, it's up to you to find your relationship with God and your own spirituality. She said, mine is limited because I reject religion, so you're going to have to do this on your own, kiddo.
That's fascinating. Let's take a few calls.
And I did. I've always been a very spiritual person. And she never blocked me, and she never gave me her opinions other than to say, don't try to convince me of your belief.
I want to talk with you about Atlantis in a moment. Let's go to Jonathan, first-time caller, Syracuse, New York. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, go ahead.
I actually have two quick questions. One of them is earlier your guest was talking about Waking Life, and so were you. I was wondering if you've seen the movie Waking Life. Oh, I'm sorry, Dad.
I haven't been able to understand the question. Waking Life?
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, there's actually a movie called Waking Life that's out, and it's about somebody who's hit by a car. It's an animated movie that has been drawn over, the way I understand it, by three different animators. And the movie is about someone who's killed. I really don't want to ruin it, but it's basically off of a philosophy where they say that when you have a dream, that sometimes dreams only last for 12 seconds or so, or even shorter, but they seem to last for several hours. And when you die, you're supposed to have somewhere around 12 seconds of brain activity left in your brain as you die. It's sort of a scientifically proven thing. So if that's the case, that we could all be dying now, and this could all be part of our waking life, because that 12 seconds could last forever, or seem to last forever. And I was just wondering if you heard anything about that, or if you have some form of a theory on that.
There's a great trailer on it on YouTube. It's a great animated enact of the other side. It's something else. I don't think you've seen it, though. Have you, Pat?
I haven't seen it, but I will certainly go out and see it, because it sounds very titillating. But what I would like to say about that is that when the scientists say it's fact, I question that, because all scientific observation is affected by the observing. And this goes back to the idea that consciousness comes first, and that reality, at the base of all reality, is consciousness, not matter. And so the scientists can't possibly say that anything is fact, because the mere observing of an event alters the event. But what I can say about that, in my opinion, is that I don't adhere to this 12-second philosophy that I've heard come out of science, because I have had experiences where I wake up, go to the bathroom, go back to bed, and return to the dream. And so I don't think they've got that right. Even though they can measure brain waves and whatever, I don't think that's right. And I think that there is a range of possibility of what happens to us when we dream, one of which is journeying astrally, and another is going into other dimensions and experiencing them. And sometimes you don't want to come back. And I think that death is something like that. You just, this is the one where I don't come back. And I think that's going to be very exciting when that happens, to me personally.
Well, you know, in your dream state.
I don't want to say I'm ready to die, but I can't wait to investigate what that is.
In your dream state, you do incredible things.
Absolutely. You work out problems, but not only that, you encounter angels, you experience beings from that have passed, relatives that have passed over, interdimensional, extra-dimensional beings. There's a lot more to it than some brain waves going zap, 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 zap.
Let's go to Janesville, Wisconsin, east of the Rockies. Hi, Kay, go ahead.
Yes, George, you were asking what a dolphin felt like. To be honest with you, because the water is cold, they're cold, but it's just, they really feel like human skin and very muscular. I mean, yes. It's not slippery, slimy, scaly. It's just like you would be if you were in cold water.
And very,
yeah, I've commented on that. The first time I ever swam with dolphins was in Cabo San Lucas. They were in containment. And the reason I did that was that I wanted to communicate with them psychically. So I jumped into this. It wasn't a show. It was just where they let dolphins swim with people. And I was allowed to swim alone with this dolphin. And what happened was pretty remarkable. The dolphin swam out to me, and the trainer was there offering the fish. So the dolphin was trained to come out, circle around me, go back and get the fish. And I said to the trainer, please let me have a few minutes where you don't do your act, and the dolphin isn't required to respond to the stimulus of the reward. And she was nervous because she said, well, we don't normally do that. And she did. And he swam out to me, and I just communicated to him, please trust me. And he turned around, and he swam in front of me, and he swam. I put my arms out, and he swam into my arms. Now, this is a big creature. So I'm sitting in the middle of this deep pool with this dolphin in my arms. And since I have training as a healer, I instinctively went into healing mode. And he just fell asleep. I've got pictures of this. This is real. He fell asleep in my arms. And his body felt very human, in fact. That's correct. And just you could feel the heart beating. It was a remarkable experience.
The dolphins, have they ever hurt anybody?
Yeah, there have been occasions when people have jumped into especially these collective pools, and they've been in mating season, and they can be dangerous because they're big. And if you interrupt a mating cycle of dolphins, or I imagine even if they are hunting as a pod, you could get into difficulty. So I have been in the Azores, and a bottlenose pod was in the middle of a mating ritual. And I was like, wow, that would be not a good time to be in the water. These are wild animals.
Yeah, they are. They're supposed to be, at least, huh?
Let's say they're in the wild. But I could never believe that a dolphin would ever attack a human being.
Mark is in San Diego.
But they need fish to eat, right?
That's true. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi, Patricia. First off, I wanted to thank you for your books. I read them. And in your second one, you talk about the 13 crystal skulls. And you say that they form a multidimensional computer. And the books blow me away. And I'm just trying to wrap my mind around that concept. What do you mean by that?
Okay. Well, thank you for the question. The book you're talking about is Atlantis Rising.
Yes.
And that book discusses the civilization of Atlantis at its peak of technology and consciousness. And it is my belief that Atlantis was in contact with extraterrestrial beings, let's say extra-dimensional beings, and that the story of the 13 crystal skulls comes from Atlantis, where 13 crystal skulls were united to form a galactic computer. Now, that may sound far out to some people, but if we remember that our own computer network is based on liquid crystal, quartz, is the basis of our entire technological prowess, then it is not that absurd to imagine that a civilization could have been using crystal for those purposes. So that book, Atlantis Rising, goes into great detail to explain that the 13 crystal skulls consisted of 12 crystal skulls that were activated by one master skull, and that the master was actually a holographic projection of the other 12 skulls. It's pretty incredible information, and I hope you get a chance, those of you who are listening, I hope you get a chance to read it.
What do you think happened to Atlantis, Patricia?
I believe that Atlantis came down with a man-made, man-induced cataclysmic event. I don't think it was a natural earthquake or a volcano, but rather the abuse of technology, not unlike what we are close to doing now. And that Atlantis, the theme of the book is that Atlantis should serve as a paradigm for what you're doing now. Don't let it happen again.
But it will, because history repeats itself.
Yes, it does. We have these peaks and valleys where we seem to reach the pinnacle of our civilization, and then we plunge down into the valley and then rebuild. That seems to be the cyclical nature of this planet.
Let's go to Jose in Lancaster, California. Go ahead, Jose.
Hi, how are you? First-time caller. I'm happy that I got through.
Super.
I want to share an experience that happened to me about, I want to say, maybe 9 years ago.
Okay.
I live in downtown L.A., and this one time I was looking at the sky and I started seeing metallic spheres flying in the sky. I don't know why, when I grabbed my mirror and I tried to make contact with the sphere, one of the spheres that was flying, and for some reason, I started making contact with that sphere, started changing colors, different colors. Later on that night, I had a strange dream. I dreamt that there was riots going on and people robbing, stealing, shooting each other. There was this one gentleman that caught my attention. He was a preacher preaching. He was saying, they're coming. We're going to be an example to the rest of the universe. They're watching us. And he said, matter of fact, here they come. He pointed to the sky, and three stars came together and landed. When that happened, I woke up, but I woke up in a different dream in my house. There was a little guy that went in the house. He was short, brown. He was talking to me, but he wasn't using his lips. It was like a telepathic connection that we were talking. It was awkward. I tried to touch him. He wouldn't let me touch him. But he was trying to tell me that they were watching us and they were going to come and help us. Ever since then, I've had strange experiences. I still dream them once in a while. And I was just wondering if the doc could just kind of tell me if based on her gift, if that actually happened, or was that a dream, or I'm just trying to figure out what's going on.
What happened to him, Patricia?
Well, you're probably not going to like my answer, but this is the way that I speak to people, and that is, no one can ever interpret your experience for you, and be careful not to give it away. So to go to someone and say, please tell me what this means, or please tell me my past history, past lives, or whatever, the message is coming directly to you, and that is very important. And don't fear it. Obviously, you're being shown something. It's coming into your dreams as a reflection of your subconscious, perhaps, or perhaps it's coming, as we discussed, George and I discussed earlier, from another dimension. It's real to you. It very well may be that you're having contact, and you will get asked to have more clarity about that. One thing you can use, for example, is when you go to sleep at night, because the mind is everything, right? You can set the stage and say, if contact is desired, please be clear and bring yourself through to me with clarity. And work with your own mind to find your answers. Personally, I find it very exciting, and I think that the veils are coming down and more of us are going to be receiving this kind of information. And then we're going to be getting it in real time, because I'm very convinced that we are on the verge of having global contact, where we can no longer say there was an event in New York, or what do you think that was, balloons. I think we're going to have global arrival, where there can be no more question about that.
Global arrival because we've summoned them or because they want to finally let us know?
I think because they're, until the Earth was self-destructive, I'd probably go with the idea that non-interventionism is a galactic rule, let's say. However, we are now becoming dangerous to the rest of the galaxy, or at least the rest of the solar system, and we are on the verge of destroying this planet. And that is not acceptable, because I truly believe that the universe is based on love, and that the Earth is based currently on the proliferation of war. And that makes us a pretty primitive society in the global sphere of things, which is okay if we want to self-destruct, but we are not going to be allowed to destroy the planet. To go into an extinction of all life on this planet is not going to happen. And I do also adhere to the idea that we're going to have not saviors, because I don't need a savior. It's our karma, and we have to fix it. But I do believe that we're getting contact so that we can be assisted in understanding how to pull this planet out of the plunge that we're in at the moment.
People want to email you, Patricia. What do they do? How do they find you?
Well, they can go to my site, which is, and they can email me at info@SyrianRevelations.net, or they can just, and my other email is patcori, C-O-R-I, at tiscali, T-I-S-C-A-L-I-N-E-T, .it. Fastest way is info@SyrianRevelations.net.
What do you find that people want to know the most when you talk to them? What are they the most fascinated with? Is it life after death?
Is there... most of them are most concerned about death and about life beyond the planet.
How about purpose? Do they get into that?
Yes, you're
why,
right.
Why are they here?
A lot of people are searching for their mission in life and their purpose, and I think that that is one of the greatest issues that we have as human beings, that is the search for meaning in life. And when you consider what life has become for so many people with this overt material exploitation of everything, the dependence on technology, we've become disconnected from the Earth, which is what I mentioned earlier.
That's everywhere. Hey, Pat, we're going to come back with final calls with you on Coast to Coast AM.